Dear brothers and sisters, this is the third talk in continuation of the two already given to you. First day's talk was on values of life, and we came to the conclusion that soul is the most important phase about which we have not cared so far. We have been engaged with the body and its adjuncts, or in the intellectual attainment. The Master said, is not body more than the raiment, and life more than the meat? What does it profit a man if he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses one's own soul? For that reason, we came to the conclusion that we must do something to know about God. Unless we know about God, we must know about our own self. So self-knowledge precedes God-knowledge. We are embodied souls, environed by mind and matter, identified with the body and outside so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. How to know ourselves? That is a matter of pure self-analysis. Then you lay down that God made man with equal privileges, and the highest aim that is before us is to know God. For that purpose we have joined various schools of thought. Blessed is the school in which we have joined for this purpose. If we have achieved that object, our purpose of life is served. To know something, how can we give food to our soul? We came to the conclusion that it was the word, bread of life, which is word personified. Then yesterday we were talking about God, whether it is possible to see God, to find God, while in earthly life. That by reference to the various scriptures we came to the conclusion that we can have an manifestation, we can manifest God within us, and we can open our inner eye to see Him, and also we can open our inner ears to hear Him. So this was what was given to you yesterday. So there was also given some qualifications required for a man who wishes to know God. And that was told you, that the chastity of life, perseverance, and also control of the organs of sense, and last of all, love of God and love of all humanity. Now today we have to see how can we see God. You see, God is worldless. When it came into being, worldless or nameless, when came into being, it is called world, unknown. That world has been the cause of all creation. That is why the masters refer to world as the cause of all creation. That world is also called by the name, or word, or shabda. So one is the expression of God in action, of the same God, which is the basic ground, I may say, the absolute God, which nobody can see in life, that is only of going into Him, be absorbed totally. But when it comes into expression, we can have a glimpse of God, but with what eyes? That were laid before you yesterday, those are not the eyes of flesh and bone, but the inner eye, called by different saints, by different names. Single eye, or third eye, or the latent eye. So that is within each man, that is not the eye of the flesh or bones, but that the inner eye within each man, which is closed. When that eye is opened, we do see the light of God and hear the voice of God. How to open the inner eye? This is a question. To sit at the feet of somebody who knows the way. No son of man can do it, but it is the God power manifested in some manhole which alone is competent to give you the inner eye, open the inner eye to see the light of God. Because God has no equal, no brother, no sister, no father, Now who can connect you to God? Common sense way you find, it is He alone who can raise our souls from the bondage of mind and matter and unite the soul with Himself. God resides in every heart. There is no heart where God is not. That's the controlling power of our souls and the body. It is that power where it is manifest that manifested God in man can do that work. Each one of us has God in our hearts, but the difference lies in the fact that God is manifest somewhere that is still latent. So that God into action power can be seen and can also be heard. So name and the named are in fact one and the same. Wordless God and God into action, which is called Word, they are in fact one and the same. There is hardly any distinction between the two. One is the abstract form of that which is concrete. Light cannot be separated from the sun. Rays of the sun or light of the sun is not separate from the sun. So the two go together all the world over. Word, God in expression power, or the wordless state from which came into expression is the same. Similarly, Godhood and God cannot be demarcated and set aside in watertight compartments as two separate entities. The former is just an attribute of the other. So naam, or name or shabda is nothing else, nothing more or less than Godhood of God. So in Bible it is called the Holy Ghost or the Comforter. It is the primeval manifestation of God, responsible for the entire creation. It is the primeval, St. John speaks of it, in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, and Word was God. All things were made by Him, you see. Then he goes further to say that without Him was nothing, anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is what St. John said. But you'll find further, Thy world is settled in heaven. All heavens are made by the Word. So this is what about the Word it is said. So all that is, you see, name and the named are but one. Light of Naam witnesseth His glory. This is what a Mohammedan saint tells us. You'll find the same thing given out by the Masters whenever they came, whether they came in the east or the west, that makes no difference. Further they say, all that is of and from Naam, for it pervades everywhere. It is the light principle of the entire creation. He in whom this world or Naam becomes personified or manifested is called a saint. For it is said that the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. This is exactly what Guru Nanak said. God, when He manifests in some manhole, it is He alone who can give us a contact with the coordination power. So you find World One made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Such a one has reached the summum bonum of life. So such a person is competent, at whose manifold that God has manifested, that God manifested and on any human pole is only competent to raise our souls above the control of the mind and matter and connect it with the whole self. That is for that reason, you see, this is the time, you see, man body is the golden opportunity which we can have that privilege. As I told the day before yesterday, the man who has got the man body has but sight to see God. So those fortunate is the man who has contacted with a person at whose pole God is manifest. Because in his company only he gets a connection, a unity with God. The man who has not been able during his lifetime to establish a contact with world or nam, he at the time of death quits his body like a defeated gambler. So, greatness of nam and world and its need has been spoken of by all masters who came in the past, and we find description of all that in the scriptures which are with us today. So the access of spiritual regions cannot be gained except with the wings of Nam. The touch with the divine current purifies a person of all iniquities. All doubts and distractions become airy nothings, and the mind becomes steady and firm. With the result, the God's light is reflected therein. So now may appear, but in what you say, mano, syllable, but it is great power behind it. But the dose of nama word, when taken, reduces the entire garbage to a heap of ashes. Like there may be tons and tons of firewood. If little spark of fire put, the whole thing turns down to mere a dust of, turns into dust. Similarly, if you come across with some God-man, you might say now, God in man or man in God, when you come across with him, he is able to give a contact with the Nam power and the world power within, by coming in contact with which all the mental impurities are burnt away. Just like a spark of fire in a powder of magazine, you might say. So that Nam contact in the Nam power is what is required of us, you see. If we can have contact with that God in action power, our life is, truly speaking, becomes pure, you see. By communing with the Nam, one transcends the limitation of the flesh and reaches far beyond the realm of the pairs of opposites. So a contact with Nam assures salvation to all, whether good or bad, learned or unlearned. Like sun and fire gives warmth and light to all. Similarly, you'll find it is just like you take a pill which is very laxative, you see. You eat it purposely or even eat by error, you have motion, you see. Similarly, if your soul comes in contact with the non-power within, then naturally the result is that our all sins are washed away, you see. So masters have defined this thing, that it is that power which is the cause of all creation, and it resides in every heart. Though there is no place where that God in action power is not, but still to have a contact with that, you cannot have it without a master, because it is the God in him who can give you contact with God him. So that is the controlling power which is controlling us in the body and controlling all creation. But where to find him? Guru Arjan says, for him, to find him, you will have to go within the laboratory of the man body. First you will have to withdraw your attention from all outside, tap inside, and as Emerson says, and then rise above senses. You will find him then and there. The yogis say, once Guru Amar Das came in contact with a yogi, he asked him where he can find a contact with the world or now. He told him, when you rise above the six ganglions in the body, you will find him, you see. So what is it? I mean, how to recognize that God is there? So all masters say God is light. God is some principle. When wordless God came into being, it is called word. There is vibration. And vibration results in two things, light and sound. So there are two ways within, two aspects, you might say, of the God in action power, which is controlling all creation and us in the body too. If you have contact with that, that will lead you to the place from where it emanated. So how to come in contact with that? For which? For that we will have to just first withdraw from outside within, and from within rise above sense. Then you come in contact with that light and sound principle. So for that reason the masters have been giving that God or world is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my body. So these are the expressions what we have from time to time when the masters come, you see. So now to that God in action power, there are innumerable names given to that. The sages and the saints have described God in action power by innumerable terms. Some called it as the Lord of all, some called it as the peerless one, some say he is the nameless one, others say, well, look here, he is incomprehensible and ineffable. So many names have been given to the God in action power, but all these are just attributive or qualitative names, names signifying simply describe any one aspect or facet of God as appealed for most to individual's liking. So thousands of such names appear in the Holy Scriptures. Now some say it is pervading all, others say it is encompassing all, some say it is Allah, God, you see. Jews called it as Jehovah. So for that reason, these various names are used. So we have to start from where? From the names given to the God in action power, you see, to bring you in contact with the absolute God, the way back to God. So oral repetition of names has its own value and utility. It is needed for some purpose, but it cannot lead to self-realization and God-realization. This is the way back, of course. It has its own function, but unless and no further. So we have the sweet remembrance of God, and for having that sweet remembrance of God, we must have some words to denote Him. But unless we come to the words, to the actual thing which these very words denote, we cannot derive the full benefit of that. Both of which can be achieved only through contact with God in action power. Call it by whatever you may, but it is generally called by various saints or masters. Some call it word, the others call it a shabda, the third call it Ram Nama. Mohammedan saints call it kalma. And these various names, in the Vedas it is called Shruti. And Zoroaster calls it a Srosha. Mohammedans call it as a Kalam-e-Kareem. So these are the various words given to the God in action power. Context, and this context can come about only through the grace of some competent master. Who is a competent master? He is a man like us apparently, but the God which is latent in his house, it is manifest there, and he is conscious of that power is working through him. It is only the God power in him can unite us with God. So everyone repeating the monosyllable of any name gets no touch with the power realm behind the monosyllable. If you say, for instance, water. Water is a liquid something. It is called in various languages by various names. That water is called aqua in Latin. In French it is called probably eau. In Hindi it is called jal and neer. In Persian it is called aab. So these are the words denoting that liquid by drinking which your thirst is satisfied. So first is just directing us to something by drinking which our thirst can be satisfied. The two are the different things, you see. It is the grace of the Master alone that can give us a living touch with the all-embracing life impulse and the wish yielding of allegor. That is in his power, the God in him has the power to raise our soul which is now embedded under the weight of mind, outgoing faculties and other enjoyments, to raise you up, give a lift, bring it up and give you contact with that God in action power which is called as the living water of life. You remember, Christ met a small lady, Samaritan lady. She was carrying a pitcher full of water and asked her of water. She was a Samaritan lady, she was wondering, asked whether you are a Jew. You have no connection with Samaritans, why are you asking for water from me? And Christ said, had she known who it was, who was asking for water, she would have given it. And he told her, well, look at this water that you are carrying, this once you drink, your thirst is only satisfied once, again you thirst again. But if you come to me, I would have given you a living water of life by drinking which you would not thirst again. So it is the bread of life or the water of life. So bread of life is also the very word, you see. So the repetition of word water never quenches the thirst, mind that. One may slake the thirst by taking a draught of water. Similarly, by taking words, mere repetition of this or that name, without an actual touch with the named, gives us no, full benefit. That directs us towards that thing, of course, but cannot take us to that world. If one were to become rich by calling for riches, then there would hardly be one without being rich. To talk of riches is something else. To talk of to be rich is something else. To talk about the health, laws of health is something else. And to talk to be healthy is something else. So similarly, you will find it is the water of life or what you call the bread of life, which the Master has been referred to it. Christ said, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats it, that bread of life has come from heaven. Whoever eats of it has got everlasting life. So what was that bread of life or the water of life? You'll find word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. You see? So it was word personified. When we come in contact with that, that God, our soul gets food. That's the bread of life by which our soul becomes strong. So this question arises, you see, Guru Amar Das, Guru. First Guru, what is it? Guru Nanak says, what is that name by repeating which you can know God? You can cross over the ocean of life. You say, now ask any religion, you see. All those following those particular religions, they will say, our own word is the only word that can take you across the ocean of life. Hindus have got, they say, Ram is the only word. Sixth day it is Vaheguru can be the only word. And Mohammedans say it is the Allahu only word. Well, who is right? Well, it is. These are the names, qualitative names, at that kalma, at the true name, at the word, which is God in action power. Until we come in contact with that basic or the ultimate thing which has been given by expressed by so many names, we cannot cross over the ocean of life. So there are thousands and thousands of names by repetition of which we can have the one subject only, and that is we can just concentrate. It does not mean that the saying your loving repetition or remembrance of God by certain names, that is not required. That is required, you see, that the elementary steps. Why? What for that is used? You see, the subconscious reservoir of a mind is filled with the impressions of the world. So much so that we dream the same things, see the same things in dreams, and also in a very deep sleep state, also those words automatically reverberate, come out of us automatically. So that is due to the fact the outer remembrance of the outer things has been so much so that our subconscious reservoir of mind is overflowing with that. Naturally, they come out. So we have to first vacate, deplete. In the same way as we filled it, you see, we filled the reservoir of our subconscious mind by constant remembrance of the worldly things. So we can deplete that by constant remembrance of the Lord too, by any name you like. But those names which are given by competent masters, their charge, that give you a quicker result. So for those things, you see, first thing is acquired by sweet remembrance of God. If you remember somebody, natural reaction will be there. If you hunker for that, God sees that my child is after me. He just makes some arrangement to bring him in contact with somewhere where he can be put on the way. So it is God above who sees, reads our hearts. Those who are true seekers after God, they have not to seek him anywhere. Sometimes they have to go to the water tap for water. Sometimes the gardener himself brings the water and gives to the plants, you see. Somehow or other, God makes some arrangement to any child who is really hankering after him to bring in contact where he is manifest, and that can be given a contact with God. So this is the first thing that is required. This is sweet remembrance of God. You find that Tennyson, poet, has given some description of it, you see. He says, "A kind of waking trance I have frequently had quite from boyhood, when I have been all alone. This has generally come upon me through repeating my own name two or three times to myself silently, till all at once, as it were, out of the intensity of consciousness of individuality, the individuality itself seemed to dissolve and fade away into boundless being, and this not a confused state, but clearest of the clearest, the sweetest of the sweetest, the wisest of the wisest, utterly beyond words, where death was a laughable impossibility. The laws of personality, if so it were, seemingly but the only true life. I am ashamed of my feeble description. Have I not said that stage is utterly beyond words?" That's the work of the sweet remembrance of the Lord. You see? So first step is what to do. To whomsoever you want to meet, just have a sweet remembrance in your heart. That is what Christ said, "Let my words abide in you and you abide in me." Whomsoever you remember, let it be a reaction in that heart, you see. You sweetly remember God with all loving devotion, naturally the reaction of God in God, and God will make some arrangement to bring you in contact somewhere where you can be put on the way. So much so remembrance of the God be there, that you dream of God, even in your deep sleep state, you may also reverberate the very sweet names of God. Kabir says, if you find such a man somewhere, I am ready to give the skin of my body for preparing the shoes of false feet. So such an, I think this is the stepping stone or the means to the end, you see, that is own, it is own, has its own function. Guru Nanak says, "Let your one tongue become million of tongues. And with million of tongues, let you repeat the name of God, sweet remembrance of God, millions of times." And such like remembrance that will come within you, that will be the way back to God, you see. So, both of the God in action power, which is called name, nam, and the words coined by the all rishis or saints who came in the past, they both have their own function, you see. By remembrance or constant repetition of the words which denote God, you just clear your mind with all worldly things, you see, and then you withdraw from outside. When you are absorbed in some sweet thought, naturally you become unconscious of the outside world. And further, if you are more concentrated, and if he at the seat of the soul in the body, as I explained to you the day before yesterday, that the seat of the soul in the body is back the eyes. Naturally, when you just dwell there completely, the whole body becomes numb. You rise above it, you see. This is the means to the end. That is the own function. In these teachings of the saints, you find this is the first step. Have the sweet remembrance of God. For that, as I told you yesterday, the purity of life is required. Those who are attached to the outside things, they cannot have, I mean the concentration, they will be dragged, their attention will be dragged all the time to the outward things to which they are attached. So first step is sweet remembrance of the Lord with all love and devotion. At the center of the soul in the body, which is behind the two eyes, then there should be something to stand on, you see. You see nothing, naturally you'll come back. So just to bind your attention inside to something, that is what is called dhyan, meditation. And when you stay there for a while, that light sprouts forth, light of the world. Thy world is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my body. By just coming in contact with the God in action power, the light sprouts forth, comparing to thousands of suns rising together. So this is what the process on the way. And that God power leads you to the place from where it emanates. So there are three steps. One is sweet remembrance of the Lord, first step to commence with. Then so much absorbed be there, as I, Newton was sitting by a roadside to get solving certain problems, you see, mathematical problems. He was so much absorbed in them that the band passed by him playing, you see. And later on somebody asked him whether the band has passed by this way. He said, I don't know. When your thought, I mean attention is so much absorbed in something, your outgoing faculties do not work. Even they are open. So this is natural way back to God. Start with the sweet remembrance of God with all attention, with all loving devotion. At the center of the soul in the body, you will withdraw inside. Light will come up to give you, just stay out there. And that is the expression of the God in action power and sound principle, which is the way back to God, to ultimate goal, which is absolute God, from where it emanates. So these are functions of the teachings of the Master, three steps. One is called sweet remembrance of God, Simon. The second is to stay there, what we call dhyan. And third is now contact with now power of shabda power of the world power, which is the leads you to the back to God from where it emanates. So these are the three sources by which you can reach back to God. There are two ways back. Also, Vedas say Jyoti Marg and Shukti Marg. Jyoti Marg means the way of the light, and Shukti Marg means the way of the sound principle, voice of God. Mohammedans also say the same thing. God is nur, light, and God is sound principle.
So all masters who came in the past, they refer to these two. This aspect of God, which is expressed in two ways, light and sound principle, that you contact only when you rise above body consciousness. And for that purpose, first the sweet remembrance of God is required, that the seat of the soul in the body. And the second is to just fix your gaze over there, to stay on, to bind your attention over there. When you stay there, light flows forth. That the expression and the sound also flows forth, you see. That is the expression of the God in making power. When you come in contact with that, that leads to the soul from where it emanated, the absolute God. So, by repetition, sweet remembrance of the Lord, at the seat of the soul, you withdraw from outside, you withdraw from the body, risible senses at the back of the eye. You see, all outgoing faculties and here. These eyes, ears, nose, mouth, everything down. So this is what is called to be born anew. Who sees? With what eyes we see that light? That is, this is not the eyes of the flesh or bone, but this is the light, eye, inner eye, what is called the single eye. So that is why when our masters came, they say, the light of the body is the eye. When thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. This is what they say. Thine eye be single. There are two eyes now. How the eye can become single? That's a practical experience given. This is what Tulsi also refers to the same thing. When the two people stood of the eyes, just draw your attention behind that, you will find darkness, and you penetrate over there, you will find the light of God. But how to penetrate through this dark veil, darkness, well, that requires the help of somebody. If you can do of your own self, well and good, you do it. If you cannot do it, then you can seek the help of somebody who can give you, who is competent to give you that experience. Once the way is up, from day to day regular practice will bring you up. This is what is called to be born anew. Kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. It can be had within, because kingdom of God is within you. This is what is meant by tapping inside, as Emerson puts it, you see. Here you'll find this darkness when you close your eyes. That is why you'll find, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, for there be that find it. Few there are who find it. This back eye will sit there all life long with no way up. Well, of course that's a good action, but how to penetrate this veil of darkness, this requires the help of somebody. Here truly our inner eye opens. This is what is meant when Christ said to his disciples, blessed are you that see things with the old prophets, and the righteous men could not see. You are blessed, for you hear things with the old prophets, and the righteous men could not hear. So when you come to your master, you have this blessing, you see, this grace. The God in him helps you to raise you up the mind body and open the inner eye to see the light of God. So there are nine apertures in the body. If you withdraw yourself from the outside things and inward, we see the light of God. This is a practical question. People say, perhaps the master keep it a secret. No, they speak about it on the tops of the houses. But how to penetrate the dark veil of darkness, this is requires somebody's help. If anybody can do it himself, he is most welcome. A blind man needs only two eyes to see. Well, this is the criterion given of all, by all religions, for a true Christian is one who sees the light of God. A true Mohammedan is one who rises above the body consciousness and sees the light of God. A Sikh is truly one who sees the light of God. All masters say, in all religions, that's the ideal set up before us. If we do not see, our inner eye is not open, and we do not see the light of God, truly speaking, we have not gained the true benefit by joining a certain religion. So true religion starts from where? When you rise above body consciousness. Where the world philosophies end, there the religion starts. So truly this is the only way back to God, and that's the only way the masters have referred it, of course. For rising above body consciousness, we have got so many ways. Some are man-made ways, some are God-made ways. So man-made ways are difficult, that involve the control of breathing inside by doing kumkha, and then that's a long travail. We are heralded in aspect for those things. So this is the natural way, which is called Sukshabda Yoga, the yoga of the sound principle. For that, this is something, you see, what is spoken, learn to die so that you may begin to live. Is it possible? The Master says yes. St. Paul said, I die daily. And Guru Nanak said, learn to die 100 times a day at will. This is something very practical. You can have in life, in the child's light of God, and hear the voice of God. If some competent person at whose pole the God is working, he makes him, you get from him just as a gift from him. The God in him gives you a gift of that to start with. That's only the ABC starts from there. That's not the end all or the be all. This is something substantial. Before you go to a master, you are blind because your inner eye is not open. You are deaf because your inner ear is not open. When you come to him, he gives you a sitting, you then inner eyes open, you come back with eyes. You see the light of God. You begin to hear the voice of God. You become not deaf. So this is the blessing that you have at the feet of the master, you see. So this is what is told by our two, we have twice born. So this is all dependent on what? On a God-man, you see. So body, they say, what the God-man says, well, God is within you. You see? Body is the true temple of God. And you can find it as a true temple of God with the grace of the Master. You'll find the outward things, outward places of worship, are made after the man body, dome-shaped, all Hindu temples, and cross-shaped or nose-shaped, all churches, and the forehead-shaped, all Mohammedan places of worship. And there you'll find this symbol of light and sun. That is to show that the two temples in the body, you have got the light of and the sound of God, you see. These models were made to show us that such like light and such like sound principle is reverberating within you. And the masters, when you meet them, are competent to give you some experience to start with. And to develop more and more under his instructions to reach like God. So these are the things that we have got, and we, if by God's grace we come across such a God in man, a man in God, who is the, what is God-man? God-man is the mouthpiece of God. holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Verily, verily I say unto thee, we speak that what we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. They say they have seen God. Oh, how do you see God? Well, by His grace, when you sit by Him, you begin to see the light of God, you see. So, all Master Word, who is that God-man? He is the Word personified. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So they say what God inspires within them. They don't speak from the level of the intellect, but as inspired by God, you see. This is all Masters in whom that God power is manifest. They are always conscious that it is not they are telling what they say. They are conscious it is God Father behind them that sees that says. He is not the man concerned. So that is why all Masters who came in the past, apparently to all intents and purposes they appear like a man, like you. But you find their body working among the men. But their souls are nearest to God. They are conscious of God. They see that it is God working through them. Their outer body appears to be bound in the world, but when they think, just concentrate, they have the competency to traverse into the higher planes. So that is for that reason, never take all in Masters, they are like Son of Man, you see, but they are something else whose inner self, you might say, in tune with God, and God speaks through them. That is what Mohammedan saints say. Now, ultimately, the words come from their gullet, but it are the two words of God which is coming out, you see. They are always perfect. And there. Master said here that whatever words come within the man, from within the man, without thinking, they are always perfect. So for that reason, apparently, he appears to be a man moving on earth. He appears to be just bound in the body as we are, but he has the competency when he requires, he can fly into the heavens, and also if he wishes, just draw the other man's soul into the beyond. Similarly, he sees like you, but when he also can see beyond too, and we cannot see beyond. So apparently for all intents and purposes, he is the God in man working, you see. He is man in God, you might say, or God in man working, you see. He has the competency. We close our eyes, it is all darkness. When you meet him, that veil of darkness is removed, and you see light. You bear testimony to it. The competency of a master lies only in the fact that he is competent to remove the veil of darkness and instead give you some experience of light, which is light of God. So these are the things, you see, why when two masters met, naturally when you close your eyes, now it is darkness, then you always see light. And that is the beginning only, you see, not the end all. They are still further way up, stages by stages, unless you reach to the true home, your Father, with His help. He appears to be man outside. When you meet Him, when you go within, well, He is also competent to manifest Himself there. You see, Christ advocates those who keep My commandments, they keep the commandments of God, God is pleased with them, then I shall manifest Myself to them, you see. So, truly Master is one who has the competence to guide the outside too, and when you rise above body consciousness, He is competent to appear there too, to guide you. So Shams Tabriz, the Mohammedan saints say, just take hold of the hem of somebody who is aware, who is conscious. who can guide you in this physical world too, and when you rise into the beyond while alive or after death, he also never leaves you there. That is the God power or the Christ power or the Guru power, which once you meet some manhole at which that power is working, he never leaves you, mind that. You may leave him, but he will never leave you. So such are the, they are the competency, you see, they are the, now in the government you find there are so many ministers. Each minister has his own portfolio. He is the final authority over there. So similarly, there are so many portfolio ministers in the court of God, you see. There are avatars, incarnations of God, who come to the world to set the world aright, punish the wicked, and what you said, they give appreciation to the good people, but they don't let them go out of their favor, you see. But the saints have got a portfolio. They are competent. Anybody who comes to him as seeking, he just has the competency to raise his soul into the beyond. He gives you a new birth. So these are the things that we can have with the master. Lectures can be given by any man after little training. There are outward symbols of certain schools of religions can be learned from any man with a little training. How to say prayers or how to perform certain rites and rituals, that if any man with a little training can do it. But this is something quite different. How to rise above body consciousness, hope to be born anew. So such a like the human power at which God works is called a master and saint. Of course they leave the body, physical body. All masters had the physical body and they left it. But the God power working in them never left, you see. That's why Christ said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee till the end of the world. So when you come, you are fortunate to come across such a person. Kabir says, only such a man is worth calling himself a master, who can open your inner eye to see the light of God, which is beyond the outgoing faculties, above the senses. Now go and find out, please, wherever you can. The way has been, I think, very well explained, very openly. The question will remain that how to penetrate beyond this dark veil of darkness. So such like persons, you see, when they come, they are God intoxicated. They have got their radiation. And the radiation affects all who come within that area, field of action, you see. That field of action can work on the people who have got receptive moods. They may be sitting thousands of miles from them, still that radiation works, you see. If you can catch sound through radio from thousands of miles, why can't you receive the help from a living master who has that competency in whom that God power is working? He is all love, mind that. God is love, and what is master? Christ said, I am the light, and the life, and the love. So God is that qualification, and the God in, what you say, manifested in man, also has the same qualification, you see. That symbol, he loves all. He is conscious. Our consciousness has become morbid by just identify ourselves under the outgoing faculties, with the outgoing faculties, he has the power to raise it more conscious. And he is light, he makes others see light. They are the children of light. When they come to the world, they give light to all the world over. So happily, when you meet such like persons, you have got that competency. And when you have that right, well, This is what has been laid down almost by all masters who came in the past. A truly, I will say, the man is fortunate who by joining various religions, these are the requirements. Remain in any religion you like, you see. Just you will have to have chaste life. Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. And you will have to sit at the feet of somebody who has got at whose hold that God power is working, who is competent, that God in him is competent to raise you up, to open the inner eye to see the light of God, and open the inner ears to hear the voice of God. This is what is expected of a true master. People ask, what is the criterion of a master? Well, he has got this competency. He will quote you from various scriptures, only give you something to stand on, to show that what he is going to give you is also spoken of by the masters who came in the past. But he said, don't believe in the word of the master, don't believe what the scriptures say, only believe when you see and you will have conviction, not so. So this is the way of the masters, or the path of the masters, or what is called the truly speaking spirituality, or the Soksha Yoga, you see, the science of the soul. Just liberate soul from the bondage of mind and matter and give it contact with the God of inaction power, which is called God, Nama Sabda. So this is the practical aspect what the masters give us when they meet us. Fortunate we are, we have taken steps, elementary steps I would say. That is what, just reading scriptures, as I told you the other day, that we cannot have the right importance of scriptures even until we come across someone who has seen the way. He can give you the right import of that. Others will give what? At the level of their intellect, and that is because of so many schools of thought that we have got now with us. Those who see, Master saw and said that you find a fine record thereof in the scriptures, and we can have the right to import thereof only when you come across somebody who has seen the way. All others will give their own versions, you see. So we have got the man body, which is the highest in all creation. We are the fortunate ones. That's a golden opportunity that we have got. The ultimate goal is to know God. And for that purpose, we have joined various religions. In all religions, you'll find the same teaching as the basic principles. To have the right import of the scriptures, we need somebody who has seen the way. He need not go to the scriptures too. He has the competency to raise you up to see the light of God. Even the children who cannot read scriptures, even the illiterate people who are not educated, even when they are given sitting by a master, they see the light and hear the voice of God. This is what is given out in all scriptures. I have given you a digest in few words what a master can do. To meet a living master in life is a great blessing. Maulana Reem says, if you come across any such person at whom all God is manifest, well, you are nearing, you are sitting by God, you see. They, what Pythagoras said, they come clothed in light, you see. They appear to be man body, but they are clothed in light. So these are the basic teachings are the true teachings of what the masters, whenever they came, at any time in the past, they gave out. The world is not without them. They were rare in the past. Even now they are rare, you see, because they are food for the hungry, and water for the thirsty. Demand and supply is the law of nature. Where fire burns, oxygen comes to help.
For those had hankering to know God, God brought them in contact somewhere where they were put on the way. Even now, the same God is there. If you've got real thirst, real hunger for God, well, God will make arrangement to bring you in contact somewhere where you can be given a contact with God, and you testify to it. Maybe how little or not, that depends on the background of each man. But each man gets some experience to start with. Rome was not built in a day, but to be put on the way, you go on, and that's the way of the sound and the light, which we have contact only when we rise above our senses. If you once given an experience of that by weighing up, you might say, or raising up your soul above it, you can develop it from day to day and ultimately reach the true home of our Father. So there's hope for everybody. Every saint has his past and every sinner a future. So blessed you are, please remain in your own legions. No need, you should not change, you see. But whatever steps you have taken, that's all right. Just take a step further to be born anew. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. Open the inner eye. The God resides in you. The two aspects of God is light and sound principle. This is the digest of the teachings of the masters who came in the past in various religions. When masters come, they don't break or destroy the old religions or start a new one. They say, where you are, there are so many religions already standing there, stood the test of times, remain there, but just rise above body consciousness, where the ABC starts, which is the esoteric side of his teaching of all masters. Well, thank you for your patient hearing.